Goeiemôre almal. Dis so lekker om hier by julle te wees. Ek sien nie sal baie met vakansie af. Maar ons wat nog aanhou, mag ons vanoggend regtig die seën van die Here ontvang. Ek is baie opgewonde oor wat die woord wat die Here gegee het. Want weet julle, ek is besig nou, omdat ek mos nou tyd het. Nou kan ek mos nou soggens op die stoep sit en lees. En nou lees ek baie en die Here het regtig vir my hierdie woord kom lankal oopmaak en toe Carlos my bel en sê, toe sê ek, wie ek het gewonder wanneer gaan ek hierdie woord kan bring. So, dit was toe eindelijk baie timely wat Carlos gebel het. En ja, ek wil net, na aanleiding van wat David nou net gesê het oor Israel, dis nogal vir my terwijl ek nou bezig is met die boek, die boek sy naam is Reaping the Whirlwind. En dit het nogal vir my geskok. Weet julle, dat ons so makkelijk sê, ons is hier in die suidpunt van Afrika en ons is hier geplaas deur die Here. Maar weet julle, ons doen alles behalwe dit wat die Here vir ons vra. We are building our own kingdom. Eers het die apartheidsregering sy kingdom gebou, nou build ons weer 'n rainbow nation. En God het gesê, julle moet gaan om die evangelie te verkondig. En weet julle, die vrou wat hierdie boek skryf, sy sê, terwyl sy die boek navorsing gedoen het daaroor het een ding vir haar opgestaan. En dit is dat ons bring mense tot bekering en dan los ons hulle net so. We never disciple them. And God said, when Jesus went up into heaven, he said, go and make disciples. And I was so excited when I read that, I phoned Pastor Fred and I said, Fred, the attacks on your family is real because Satan hates what you stand for. Because what does Shofar say? Make disciples to make disciples. I said, please go on. He says, Frida, you won't believe it. But here right in front of me, I'm busy writing a journal for the pastors in Africa to teach their people how to make disciples. Isn't it amazing? And that's why I'm so excited about us, because you know what? Africa is the country or the continent where God sent his people to when they fled from Israel, when they were in trouble. Jesus himself went to Egypt to be kept safe. So God has a calling on our continent, and he has a calling on us, but let's not build our own kingdoms. Let's build the kingdom of the Most High God. And what I want to speak to you about this morning is even the elect. There's this verse that says, in the last days we must be careful to live very close to God, because even the elect can be led astray. And you know what? I've heard about so many people, pastors' wives, that's been led astray in these days. And I'm telling you, not one of us is too good to be led astray. Satan is becoming so cunning, so very, very cunning, because he knows that he's lost the battle. He knows that he is going to end up in hell. But he wants to cause as much trouble in God's kingdom so that he can have the satisfaction. I'm going down, but I'm taking a lot of your people with me. And that's why I think God said in the last days, those who are for God will become holier, and those who are against him will become more worldly. And you know, if we look around us, we can just watch the television and we see how the world is falling apart. And I pray, people, that each one of you, because I believe you are here this morning because you want to walk with God. Let's get closer to him. Let's become more holy. I just want to read to you from Mark chapter 13, from verse 19. It says, for those days, that means the last days, will be a time of tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of creation, which God created until now and never shall. We know that this is going to come. And I don't want to read this to you this morning and come with this message to scare you. I want to make you excited. Because one of our great pastors said, if you know the world is going to go tomorrow, plant a tree today. So let's plant trees in the kingdom. And I'm just reading on verse 20. And unless the Lord has shortened those days, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect. God loves us so much that he even shortened the days so that we can survive. And then verse 21, and then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or behold, he is here, do not believe him. For the false Christs and the false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order, if possible, to lead the elect astray. And you know, I'm actually worried about some of these huge churches where everything is about signs and wonders. And I sometimes think, is God a God just of signs and wonders? Isn't he the God of love who cares for the poor, who takes care of the widow, who lifts up the brokenhearted? Is he just there to show off? Because sometimes some of these sermons look like more showpieces than really worshiping the Most High God. So let's be careful of those things, because the Bible warns us against it. And he says, in our spirit, we will be able to know when it's not of God. So let's be careful, but take heed. So let's really take care and really think before we really surrender to every person that come to us with certain things. Let's make sure this is of God. And if we walk close to God, we will know. So the first thing I want to, question I want to ask is, who is the elect? And you know, when I was in high school, we once discussed this in a class. Who is the elect? And I was worried. I thought, oh goodness, how do I know I'm elected? I don't know. I know I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, but say now I was not elected. Say now. And I was worried. And then somebody came and said this to us. He said, you know, if you go to this door and to heaven, and you look at the door, and above the door it says, welcome to all of you. And you make the decision to walk in through the door. You turn around, and at the on top of the door on the inside, it will say, you are chosen. So it's all about us choosing. And if we go in, God has chosen us to be part of his kingdom. But then we need to remain inside and not walk out again. Then the next thing is, we need to know the times. We need to make sure that we know. And we already read here now about the false Christs who will say that they are the Christ and they are not. And then it says, take heed, because I've told you everything in advance. Jesus said that very clearly to his disciples. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers that are in heaven will be shaken. You know, I think it's going to be terrible, because even the wild animals will not be scared of us anymore. We will be attacked by animals if we're not ready to go with Jesus, to go with him and have the big feast of the Lamb. If we stay behind, it's going to be terrible. And therefore, we need to look at these signs. Jesus himself said, look at the earthquakes. If you see it now, somebody said to me, the earthquakes has ever been there. But you know what? in the past 100 years, the same number of earthquakes, big ones now, that happened in the past 100 years, now happen in a day, all over the world. We don't even hear about all of them. But it's terrible. It's becoming more and more. Then Jesus himself said about wars, there will be wars. And you say, ah, man, there's been wars all the time. But you know what? If we sit still now and we think, we just look at the news, nearly in every country there is some kind of war, some kind of rebellion, some kind of fighting and killing, people killing each other. Isn't it terrible? A mother killing 7 of her children. I mean, what is that more than war? It's happening. It's happening in our homes. Fathers killing their family. Mothers killing their families. And then we should know that we are in the times when Jesus says, be careful. And another thing that Jesus said, he says, they will say peace, peace, but there is no peace. I mean, how many peace conferences must we have now, more than we already have, but there is no peace. There's fighting all over the place. Yes, I want to really say we need to be careful. We are living in the end times. And then Jesus said to us, be alert. Because you know what? Yes, he said we will not know the day or the time, but we will know the period. We will know this is now the time for the coming. We don't know the day because not even Jesus knows. Did you know that? He said himself, not even I know, but my Father. You know, in the Jewish wedding, there is this thing that the young man goes and he chooses a wife, and the father pays for the wife. And then this young man goes back to his home, and him and his father builds a house for them. And then when he goes to his father and says, Father, is the house now ready? And then the father makes the decision, yes, the house is ready. You may go now and fetch your bride. The bridegroom himself doesn't even know when he's going to fetch his bride. So then he goes and he fetches his bride without her knowing when he's coming. Some of the brides today won't be very happy with that. And so, you know, this is what happens. She knows the time is there. She knows he's going to come, but she doesn't know the exact day. And that's exactly with us. We know he's coming. We see the signs. And we must become excited. I remember when I was little, I used to be scared of the end times. Because in the olden days, the people just talked about the fire and the brimstone. And we were so scared. I dreamt at night about these terrible fireballs coming from heaven. And then when I grew up, I decided I will tell children about this. I will tell them the truth about Jesus coming to fetch us on the clouds for the wedding of the Lamb. And I will tell them that yes, there will be terrible times, but you know what? If we love God and we live in his presence, we will be safe. But then I started in my class with grade ones. I told them and they became so excited. And I talked about, you know, accepting Jesus. And they stood up and they said, yes, we want to all go to heaven. And they actually prayed the sinner's prayer. I just thought, you pray it. Maybe it's for real. And I know that there's lots of young people that accepted Jesus at that stage. But my own daughter, when I told her, she says, Mama, ek gaan net my koffertjie kry, dan gaan ek hardloop na Jesus toe. So I told her, but you don't even have to go and fetch a little bag. You can just go. And she was so excited about this flying to Jesus and being with him. So yes, we must know the signs. We must know it's going to be terrible. But we must be excited because we're going to be set free. And we're going to live, but we need to really love God and be alert. Then in Mark 13, verse 32 to 37, we read all these things about how he's going, and it says, but in that day, or in that hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but the Son, not even the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. So yes, we need to be ready for that. But now I just want for us to know that if we study the Word, we can really get to know how to handle all this. But also, you know, God sometimes speaks in different ways. He speaks through His Word. He speaks to people. To me, He speaks in my garden, because I love gardening. And so this week I was busy cleaning out the weeds. And I don't know if you know Ankie Squeak. If you're a gardener, you will know. They are terrible. You never get rid of them, because they have tiny little black bulbs and they grow deep into the ground. And then they send all these little different roots down under, and up they pop. And you pull them out, but the little bulbs stay behind. And tomorrow there's another one. And you keep on pulling up these weeds. And you know what's terrible? Mine grows in my lawn. And then when I started pulling it, I thought, you know what? I'm not even sure that I've seen it happening. And when I realized it was there, it was all over, because it looks just like the lawn. So can you see? We sometimes look just like the world, because the world is trying to put on this holy garment to look like us. And we compromise with the world to look like the world. So we need to be careful and watch out and be careful of who we befriend and where we go, because sometimes the world looks like us. And the next thing is, they like to go underground. And as I was reading this book, the most of this book was talking about the underground things that are happening. Nobody knew. Everybody was celebrating this great country. Nobody knew what was going on underground. And that's why we need to know God, because He can show us. You know, there was a time when I was going to a certain lady's sermons. I liked to go to her sermons. But every time I was there, I was worried. There was something that I couldn't quite figure out what was wrong. And I thought, maybe it's just, I'm stupid, maybe. Because she's good. I like going to her sermons. And then one day, I realized, but she's just carefully twisting the Word so that she builds her own kingdom. And she becomes so important that the Word of God is not important anymore. And I realized, you know what? By God's grace, I did not become too involved. And so, yes, we need to be so careful that we do not become involved in, I'm not only saying in church things, in worldly things, that we will not become involved in things that's not of God. People, we need to live holy lives. And the next thing is, you need to weed constantly if you have Ankie Squeak in your garden. You got to do it nearly daily. So yes, all of our lives, we're going to need to clean out our lives. Every day there will be something new, because remember, Satan wants to hurt God. So who can he do better than make us do what's not really of God? So we need to be careful. Sometimes pride comes in so quietly without us realizing it. And suddenly one day, you know, oops. You become jealous. You become angry. You become rebellious. And then you must know there's pride in your life. Because somewhere you missed Satan coming in so quietly. The next thing is, the Ankie Squeak likes to take the water away from the lawn, to make the lawn die. So be careful. Don't go near people who are not of God. Because, yes, we must love them. Because if we love them, we link them to Jesus. Yes, we must pray for them. But don't go too close to them. Don't let them influence your life. Then the next thing is, if you pull up the weed, find the bulb. Make sure you find the bulb. You know, sometimes we go to psychiatrists. I'm not saying psychiatrists is wrong, but we go to somebody to, you know, counsel us, and we go to a friend and we chat about our problems, but we never really get down to the root. We never really go and really search for what's wrong. What's really causing this wrong in my life? And if we don't do that, we will keep on struggling. And then it's really so dangerous for us to allow these weeds to grow in our lives, because they want to build their own kingdom. Because that's what Satan is all about. He wants to build a kingdom so that he can destroy God's. Then the next thing is that we need to remember to keep safe as the elect, that God gave us each a different assignment. And we so often, you know, that lady, oh, you know, she's so good at this and I want to be like that. No, no, no. Go and find out what God wants you to do. Maybe it's not something so glamorous. Maybe it's not something out there where people can see you. Maybe it's quiet. Maybe it's just to love people. Maybe it's just to take care of other people. I know of women who take in people in their homes to care for them until they feel better. I mean, we have Sonia here in our midst, who in this town take people into her house to get them, to disciple them, to protect them. Maybe that's your job. Maybe you are just very good at entertaining people, to make people laugh. Maybe you are just an intercessor who quietly sits in his room and prays without anybody seeing. And you know what? Let me tell you. Then you intercede, and God says you don't even tell anybody you're interceding for that person. And it's hard because you'd like people to hear that you pray for them. And then the breakthroughs come, and you'd like to say to them, you know what, I prayed for you. And God says, keep quiet. Keep quiet. Don't say it. Because pride is going to come in. You are going to build your own little kingdom. So people, it's not always easy. And it's not always nice for us. And I'm telling you, sometimes your assignment is not really what you wanted. You wanted something else, but please start going for that. Start going for what God has assigned you to do, because you will eventually become excited. You will eventually pick the fruit. And yes, maybe not in the way you thought, but keep on doing it. Yes, maybe you are going to be a prophet, sharing the word just by your testimony, like Margarita did this morning. Just by her testimony, she lifted up somebody here. She lifted me up. Just by the faith. If I think of Margarita through all the years I know her, how many times she just said, God will provide. And he did. I mean, her life is a testimony. So, yes, God is going to maybe just use your testimony of your life. And you know, our daughter lost her little baby, and she's 43. And she was so excited about coming pregnant for the first time. And she phoned me and she says, Mom, I wanted this to be to God's glory. And God just dropped it in my heart, and I could say to her, you know what? It's God's glory the way you react. It's God's glory the way you react. Yes, you sometimes go to bad things and people are horrible to you and you're not very happy. But it's the way you react, the way you stand up. That's what counts. That's what is your testimony. And the next thing is, maybe some of you are shepherds, very good at caring for others. Maybe some of you are teachers, good at teaching people how. But you know what? When my daughter was about 17, she was quite a strong-headed one. And when she came to me with problems, I'd always start telling her what to do. You know, if you do this, and if you pray like this, and if you... And then one day she sat me down and she says, "Mom, now you keep quiet. I want to tell you something. You know what? You've always given me advice, wonderful advice, but I don't want to be like that. I'm asking you to sit down and listen to me. I just want you to listen." And then only the penny dropped. And you know, I realize now, sometimes people just need you to listen. They just, and I want to tell parents now with teenagers, and if they do tell you, don't give them advice. Say to them, "How are you going to solve the problem?" Ask them how they're going to do it. And sometimes grown-ups too. We just need to sometimes make people think for themselves so that they can listen to God's voice. And the next thing, maybe you are a peacemaker, which is not easy in these days. To be a peacemaker. Maybe you are an arty person, and through your art, you are displaying God. I was watching Talks and Chops on Friday evening with Oom Oppie, and it was so amazing, the singer that was there. I don't know who of you watched the program, but there was this young singer that they invited to be there. But he's a gospel singer. But you know what? This guy was so natural. There was no holy, holy, nothing holy, holy about him. And he sang his holy songs, but with such joy and with such freedom. Eventually, all those people started singing with him on the show. And I thought, what an amazing way to portray God through your singing without being this holy, holy guy, but just to be normal, just to be loving God through the way he was singing. And it really inspired me so much. If we look at our sportsmen, if we look at how many of them really want to serve God. And I'm excited about what God's doing with lots of our sportsmen, changing their lives for the kingdom. So let's use what God has given, what talent God gave you, let's use it to further the kingdom of God. And then I want to just talk a little bit on how to survive the onslaught, because it's going to be difficult. You know, I think what's more difficult in these days is not so much that we will, like in the olden days, you get killed. Yesterday we also get killed, but in the environment we're living now is the subtle way in which our religion's been attacked. A subtle way in which Satan comes to just take us a little bit off the road, just a little bit, just to think. You know, when I was reading this book, that they keep on saying that, yes, you do it for the Creator God. And you know what? The Creator God, in the terms that the world is talking about, is the Son God. It's not God, our God. It's not the God of Israel. It's the Son God, but they call it the Creator God. You know, lots of the buildings in our country has been dedicated to the Creator God. Their cornerstone says it. And the Creator God is the Son God. Can you see how subtle they come? And we think if they say God, it's our God. So, yes, we need to be really... and now, the first thing that God dropped in my mind when I was thinking about survival was love. Because Jesus says nothing can conquer love. Love conquers everything. And then I saw this thing that says, love others and you link them to Jesus. So every person who nasty to you, in your heart says, "Lord, I love this person. I want this person to become part of your kingdom." And you link them to Jesus immediately without them realizing it. You don't even have to say it. And then we need to remember that we need to choose to love. We've seen now, and I was actually so excited about these two missionaries that were killed. One, the man and his two sons, and Mr. Corky. You know, and it was just to me so exciting how they said, we forgive these people. And the world start talking about it. How could you forgive? And they start reasoning about it, and they don't understand. Forgiveness is not something you feel like doing. I mean, you won't feel like doing it. But you choose to do it. And if we just get to that place, some people say, you know, I'm an angry kind of person. I can't help myself. You can choose. Do you know you can choose to be happy? And if your eyes start wandering in your marriage and you start looking around, you can choose to look back. You don't have to do that. And it's happening more and more. In our family, we're just going through something like this now. One of my cousins, and it's so terrible. The hurt and the pain that this is causing. And I realize this is an attack of the enemy. The enemy is attacking our country's marriages because they know it's a God covenant. And if he can hurt God's covenants, then he's safe. So let's keep in a safe place. Let's choose to love. And you know what? The other day on the radio, they were chatting about how Christians forgive and how could it possibly be that you can forgive. And then the psychiatrist phoned in and he said, you know what? This has got nothing to do with religion, but you know, if you forgive, you set yourself free. And I thought, oh, now the world's at last, the penny's dropping for them. We knew it long ago because that's a law of heaven. If we choose to forgive, we are free. Okay, and then we can overcome. The next thing is humble yourself. I don't think we really realize how important that is. I think that's the secret that David knew, King David. You know, God says he's a king according to God's heart, but David knew how to humble himself. I mean, this Saul who always wants to kill him, he humbled himself. He honored Saul as the king, knowing that he's the next king. He went into the desert. He took those rough men that were all hiding in the wilderness because they were doing wrong, and people want to put them in jail. And what did David do? He changed their lives. He humbled himself to be one of them, and he changed them into the best army Israel ever had. Because David knew how to humble himself. Go and read the Psalms. Hear how many times David cried out, Lord, I've done wrong again. I've sinned against you. And every time David knew how to humble himself. And this is the big thing. But people, when I talk about this, I want to say to you, choose to humble yourself. Because I'm telling you, if God does it, you don't want to experience that. I've seen it in the lives of people who didn't want to humble themselves, and God had to humble them. And it's not a nice picture to see. Please, let's choose to humble. If we look at Israel, I mean, God is the great Amen, the great King of Kings, the great I Am. He's their Lord, He's their God. He wants to give them everything. And they choose to worship a calf. They choose to worship the sun god. They choose to worship Baal. And they constantly went on. God called them back. They went back again. And then God took hold of them. You know, God said, I was going to destroy Israel. You know how badly it was actually done? There was a time in the history of Israel when there was not nearly no trees on the mountains of Israel. because it was chopped down by the enemy. The good pastures near the sea was one big marsh full of mosquitoes, and nobody could live there. God destroyed Israel. It was a desolate land. It was a desert. The mountains were barren. There was nothing. Because God revenged, even though it was his people. He scattered them all over the world. We know how they were scattered. That is when God humbles you. So, yes, let's rather humble ourselves than we need to live in obedience. And we need to live in obedience to set an example to others. You know what? It was so great for me. I'm now busy cleaning out our boxes of memoirs that we kept through the years. Now, Opie and I were both teachers, so we have quite a lot of memoirs and a lot of letters from children. And I was busy putting all Opie's rugby things and all his tug of war things that was in the newspapers. And I always say, he has such a childlike faith. He always says, Frida, you make it so difficult. Just love God and know he loves you. Just be in his presence. And then I read this article that a man wrote about Opie. He was the man of the week in the Worcester Standard. And this guy talked about how Opie was always, he was a coach of the Worcester rugby team, and he was coach of the Drostdale team. And this man said, and he was not even a Christian, the man who wrote the article. And he said, to Opie, being a Christian is so natural. Even on the rugby field, he says, even in the bar, Opie was a Christian. He set an example, and I know that. I know that. I could see it in school, how boys come to him now and say, oh, Mr. Opperman, you taught us this. You were strict, yes. You gave us a few good hidings, but we remember it because you were right. You taught us to love God. And you know, this is to me such a wonderful thing to live with a man like that who knows how to love God, how to live in God's presence. Then the next thing is to enable us to hear the voice of God. We need to do three things. And God also just dropped this in my spirit as I was doing research work. And he says, first of all, he says, you walk in holy awe of God's majesty. And this is so great when David sang this morning and chose the songs that he's chosen, the holiness of God. You know what? If I become quiet, yes, it's great. He is my daddy. Yes, I'm sitting on his lap. And yes, I may tell him all my hurts. But you know, he's holy. He is so holy. God just showed me one day, he was sitting on a throne in the middle of Worcester on the church plain. And it was a throne. He showed me the people, the Christians coming with torches towards him. And as they come closer, he became more holy. Because they were reflecting his holiness back to him. And it was just, I remember I stood there and we were interceding around the plain, and I saw this vision, and I just thought, how holy is our God? Do we always realize that? Do we always realize the privilege that we have, that we may come into his presence? And then the next thing is, sit at the feet of the Shepherd of Calvary. You know, whenever I have problems and I become impatient or some things happen, I realize I'm not sitting at Jesus' feet. I'm not sitting at the feet of the shepherd. We need to sit there day and night. We need to sit there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We need to sit at the feet of the shepherd. Not really even doing something, just sitting. Sometimes I sit there and I say, Jesus, I don't know what now. How to handle this problem. but I'm just sitting here. When Oppie was so sick and he couldn't walk and he couldn't eat, and I just sat at Jesus' feet. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. And God provided every answer. There he is, walking, talking. It's so amazing that God, we can just sit at Jesus. We don't have to do, we have to just sit. And the next thing is live victoriously. You know, as Christians, we sometimes so, Margot says in London, she's doing a charity work for the church for people who are without a house and who are really on the streets. And she says, what makes her so angry? She says, Mommy, they always want to go the cheapest way. We belong to the Most High God. Why can't we do the best? And then I realized why Pastor Fred always says excellence. We are the children of the Most High God. Why must we always be so, I don't know, we always excuse me, I'm a Christian. No, we must become bold, because our God is the Creator. He is the Great I Am. Let's walk victoriously, even in the storms. It's not easy. I'm telling you, I have experienced it. It's not easy to walk victoriously in the storm. It's hard. It's sometimes so difficult. But all you need to do is just start worshiping. Just start worshiping. And God will give you the strength. I remember Corrie ten Boom, when she stood on that stage and she was preaching to the people about forgiveness. And here comes the man up the aisle who killed her sister in the concentration camp, who killed her sister in the icy snow. And she remembered him and she says, I can't forgive this man. But you know what Corrie did? She closed her eyes and she said, Lord, I can't, but you can. I want to forgive. And she said the next moment, God showered her with so much love. She went forward and she hugged this man. And she said the more she hugged him, the more love she received. So all it takes is for us to take the step, and God will provide. God will do it for us. So let's live victoriously. Why can we do that? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus says, you know, for years I was in a church where they did not acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We were very holy. We were taught the Word of God. It was hammered into us, and I'm glad for that. But you know what? They never allowed us to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the day I realized there's something more to the Holy Spirit than just a name, I realize that there's power. So people, you are in a church where the Holy Spirit is so freely preached. Let's start using the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's walk in that power. I want to just say again, let's have the gospel of peace in us and let's go forth. But now I just want to tell you one more thing before I say amen. I have a little book that I got from a beggar. He comes to my house every day for his meals and he asks me to warm it up for him. And every now and then he brings me a book. And it's always a religious book. So he comes with this little book with like little letters from God. And last night when I read last night's little verse, it says, make the way straight. And it was so clear. We are called to make the way straight. And the next thing it says, Jesus says, this is my way, not yours. You work in it, you do what I say, and you silently prepare people. Not your way, but my way. So if we need to prepare people, if we need to make the way straight, we need to hear from him. And the next thing is, he says, bring the gospel of peace, not build your own kingdom. But prepare your hearts so that nothing can shake you. So when God sends things over your life, remember, he's just making you strong so that nothing can shake you. Trust him. He will lead you through. Let's close our eyes. Father God, we stand before you this morning knowing that you are a holy God. Yes, that you are the great I am. Lord, we cannot even stand before you. We need to lie down. But thank you, Lord, that we know that though you are the great I am, though you are the Holy One, you are also our Daddy. Thank you that we may climb on your lap this morning. Thank you that we may feel your strong arms lifting us up, taking us up and filling us with your Spirit, so that we can go forth and live victoriously. Lord, I pray this morning that every person in this church will experience your protection in these days. Lord, that they will experience how you cover them up with your great love, so that, Lord, they will not be led astray. Not one of these sheep, Lord, I pray, will be found walking in the ways of the law of the world, Father, but I pray that each one of them will have many other lambs walking with them because they discipled them. Lord, I pray that you will give them a heart of a disciple to disciple other people. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.